Okay, today's date is Monday, January 7th, 2013. The time is approximately 10:16 hours. This is an interview with the Orange County District Attorney's Office regarding Special Assignments Case 12-031. My name is Investigator Brett Anderson, and I'll go around the room.
Detective Leo Rodriguez, badge 2408, CAP Homicide Unit.
Officer David Garcia, batch number 3231, patrol.
No batch number.
Okay. David, is it Dave or David? What do you prefer?
David?
Yes,
sir.
Okay. Is this a free and voluntary statement?
Yes.
And has anyone from your agency ordered you to give a statement?
No.
No.
Okay. He has given a core statement to internal affairs or professional standards on the night of the incident.
Okay.
But nobody has ordered him to be here today.
Okay, great. Thank you for clarifying that. And do you feel compelled to give a statement because the district attorney's office is involved?
No.
Okay. How long have you worked for the Santa Ana Police Department?
I've worked approximately coming up to 3 years.
Okay. Have you worked for another agency before Santa Ana?
No.
And on the night of the incident that we're talking about, how were you dressed or what were you wearing?
I was wearing my patrol uniform, short sleeve shirt with my duty belt, gun, taser, two magazines, ASP, and a radio and set of cuffs.
The manner in which you were dressed, was that photographed on the night of the incident by the Orange County Sheriff Department?
Yes, it was.
And as far as duty weapon goes, what make and model do you carry?
Carry Glock 22, 40 caliber.
And obviously there was one magazine in the weapon. How many extras do you carry?
Two.
And do you carry a backup weapon?
No, I don't.
And you said you do carry a taser, right?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know which one it is? Is it the M26 or X26? What do you guys carry?
I believe it's the X26, but don't quote me on that number.
All right. That's good enough. And then on your Glock 22, do you know what the magazine capacity is?
15 plus one in the chamber.
The on that night, do you remember what unit number you were driving? If you do.
No.
Okay. Do you remember what your call sign was?
345.
Were you working alone or did you have a partner?
I was working in a solo unit.
Okay. Were there any other vehicle or any other weapons in the vehicle?
Yes, I had my AR-15, and I believe there was the Ruger inside the vehicle.
Okay.
Or a shotgun, one of the two.
And did all those stay in the car that night?
I
mean, as far as when you deployed to the call?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you remember the date and time of the call?
Yes. December 15th. I believe it was 2345 or 40 hours.
Okay.
That.
And what was the call at the time?
We were dispatched to, it's called a 927 unknown trouble, to that location. Basically, dispatch said an anonymous female called saying that she heard an argument and things being broken or something like that on Washington, approximately at 506 East Washington.
Okay. And when you were dispatched to that, were you dispatched alone or did you have an assisting unit assigned?
I was assisted by my partner, Officer Akala.
Okay. Once you were assigned to the call, how long did it take you to arrive?
We were pretty close to the call, actually. So I want to say maybe a minute, maybe two.
Okay.
The most.
And once you arrive, rather than going question for question, once you arrive, if you want to just, you know, tell me what happened, and then if there's questions in the meantime, I'll try to keep the interruptions to a minimum. And in fact, if at any point you want to refer to these photos,
okay,
and with you, I'll number these number 1, 2, 3, and 4.
That's fine. Can we either get copies of the photo, or do you mind if I take a photo of the photos?
Oh, I'll get you copies if you want. Whichever way you want to.
Copies would be probably best.
Yeah, let me just run those through the machine real quick.
We can do it after the interview.
Okay. Yeah, try to remind me in case I forget. Okay, so once you and your partner, Officer Alcala, arrive, what happens?
I was the first one on scene. I parked my vehicle maybe 10 feet from photo number 1 to the west of this, where I could have eyes on the front door to 506, and I saw there was nobody outside on the street or anything like that on Washington. When I first got out, I obviously locked my vehicle and looked at the front door, and I saw a male not wearing a shirt at the entrance of the front door to 506. He sees me, I see him, and he immediately closes the door. In the back of my head, I'm thinking, okay, I may have found, somebody involved. My partner shows up behind me shortly. I tell him, hey, let's go check out this house. This male just saw me, no shirt. Saw me, goes back inside, so let's go check it out, make sure they're okay. He gets out, we start walking east. I approach the house, walking through the carport, clearing this rear vehicle, the SUV in the driveway.
You mean the black one in the photo, right? Photo
yes.
Number one.
Photo number one, the black SUV. So I clear this area as he approaches the door through the actual entrance. And we both make our way south towards the entrance. I start walking towards the porch and meet up with my partner, who's already there. We knock on the door. The same male that I saw opens the door. We tell him, hey, we got called out. Did you hear anything? Did you see anything? He says, you know what? I'm here with my wife, my kids. I actually did hear something. People fighting. It either came from the street or the apartment above. I tell my partner, hey, let's check it out. Make sure he's not lying to us. We ask permission from the male. He says, yeah, come on in. My partner goes immediately in. As I'm about to break the threshold to the house, my attention is drawn back to the driveway, where I hear a sound of somebody crashing or hitting or something against a vehicle. It's a distinct sound. I mean, we all do it. We hit the car, and you know, it makes that distinct sound. So immediately, my attention, I turn my head around. And I'm still standing by the threshold of the door, and I look this way. And I see a male Wearing all shaved head or buzzed haircut, wearing all dark clothing. He's running through the driveway south from the black SUV. He's running south. I look and I'm able to see he's grabbing onto his waistband. So in the back of my head, I'm thinking, okay, we may have found the actual person involved. He's running. It was one of those where I thought I had an idea of that he might be involved because our patrol cars were standing outside. No normal person sees a car and, you know, takes off just because.
Right.
So I told my partner, hey, Danny, we got a runner. He goes, okay, let's go. We give chase south.
You mind if I turn this a little bit so I can see it? I'm completely upside down here. Okay.
So we run south through the carport. We make it all the way towards the detached garage. As I break the corner, I lose sight of the male. Break the corner to the garage. I'm sorry.
And now we're looking at photo number two. And this is the garage you're referring to, right? The big white structure. Yes. On the right side of the photo. Okay.
I lose sight of this male, clearly wearing all dark clothing. At the same time, I see unknown male at the time that I never got a chance to speak with this male walking south, or actually, I'm sorry, walking west from, I believe there was a staircase here. He's walking calmly, and immediately he sees me, and he goes, hey, you know, in the back of my head, I say that guy's not involved. Let's keep on looking for this guy.
Are these the stairs you're referencing? Because is this the garage you're talking about?
Yes.
Are these the stairs?
Yes.
Did he come down off the stairs?
He was somewhere around this area.
Okay. You
went. And when you say this area, you're talking about the ground at the end of the stairs.
Yes.
And we'll make this
six.
Is it six? Yeah, we'll make
or five. Six.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there.
So I see him, he sees me, he says, hey, you know, immediately shows his hands, I go, not involved. I continue my way south. At the same time as I'm continuing south, I'm able to hear sounds that are distinct to somebody throwing things or evading, you know, because they're hitting objects or something as they're running along. I see a male standing in photo number two, standing right outside the entrance door to, I want to say, entrance door to the garage.
And you're talking about that side door right there?
Yes, the side door. And he's out there smoking a cigarette. He does the same thing. He goes, hey, nothing. I go, okay, that's not, doesn't match the description, doesn't have the dark clothing. As I'm clearing that in the back of my head, my partner's behind me, and I make it all the way down to over here, photo number three. Mm-hmm. I make it down here to this brick area. As I'm standing there, I'm able to hear to my west across this, I want to say, wooden fence.
And west meaning to the right in the photo, right?
Yes.
Okay.
To the right. I'm able to hear the same thing. Somebody kicking objects, which is distinct. I mean, based on my training, somebody's running away, trying to evade capture or something for some unknown reason. I tell my partner, hey, I think he's running. At the same time, I look back, and the male smoking the cigarette outside. He signals me. He doesn't say anything. He signals with his finger. He doesn't point. He does the from down up, kind of like telling me he jumped over type of thing. Uh-huh. I tell him that, and I'm still hearing this smell. The noises. And I tell my partner, he's running west. He's running west. I'll check this area. You go catch him on Lacey. It's a residence down. Mm-hmm. My partner takes off, and he eventually ends up on Lacey. At the same time that my partner takes off, I stop hearing the noises. In the back of my head, I'm thinking he either jumped over the wall, and, you know, that's my area. I know that there's an empty parking lot. So if I am able to see over the wall, I could see if he ended up running, or I could check the backyard. I started looking for things or the area where I last heard him. I saw that there was I believe it's not the first table, but the second table, the squared ovalish table back here. Bulletin number two, three.
Oh, okay, I see it. We had a better picture of that table. Was it yours? You got one? Okay, yeah. So that would be number six. Okay.
So I stop hearing the noises. I immediately walk to this table right here, mm-hmm. photo number six. I'm holding my gun on my right hand and my flashlight on my left hand. I use a tree as support and I climb over the table.
So you climbed up on top of the table?
I climbed like standing on top of the table, yes.
Okay.
And I cleared this area, the back area, real quick on photo number four.
Okay.
Knowing that it was an empty parking lot, and immediately started searching from... I cleared this area and then started searching back here, clearing from okay. the bottom.
This is another, you're on the other side of this wall, right?
Yes.
And so this spot here you're talking about, is that,
that's here.
This right in here on the yes. other side of this wall, right?
Yes.
Okay. You want to mark this one in too? So we're up to number seven.
So on number seven, we pointed out the wall. If you're in the parking lot looking towards where there's a detached garage or some structure, and then in the ridermost part of it, at the corner of the structure, is the other backyards with the trees. That's where he identified being.
Correct. And then this, in number four,
yes.
this area right here, this not the plastic side of the wooden fence that looks like a sheet of plastic, but the other side, that's the side that runs parallel to this garage in number seven. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. It's becoming a puzzle here. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So, I want to say I got on top of here. I believe these are washers because I was pretty close to this wall.
Okay. yeah. Look at that.
So,
I was gonna say I think we have a photo of that too. Does that look familiar?
Yeah, but it was pretty much close to the table.
Yeah, that's totally north. This is actually the next. One? Yeah, this is a couple days later. That one would be right up. Okay. Okay. Again, sorry to interrupt you.
So I stepped up here, and on the washer.
That's gonna be number eight.
Are we yeah. up to?
Okay, and so I started, you got up on the washer. Okay.
I started clearing from the very easternmost part of the opposite side of the wall, upward, to see if he ducked down or something like that. Within seconds, I don't even want to say seconds, milliseconds, as I was clearing, I see the same male subject that matched the description that initially ran south on the carport. I see him now squatting down. Right here, I want to say maybe 4 feet. I don't know the distance from there, but I want to say 4 feet from where I was. I was on this side, and he was 4 feet here on photo number four.
Okay, so photo number four, the bottom, say bottom right corner of it where there's a plastic sheet is roughly the area in photo number eight of the washing machine, correct?
Yes.
And you said you were standing on top of the washing machine?
Yes.
So from that position on the washing machine, you said you were able to look over the fence in photo number four, the wooden fence on the right-hand side, and you could see a guy matching the description of the guy that ran from you down in that alcove-type area?
Yes.
Okay. And you, did you give a distance, roughly how far he was in there?
Yeah, I want to say approximately 4 feet. It wasn't far enough. I mean, there wasn't quite a great distance away from both of us.
And when you say 4 feet, are you talking from you or from like the edge of this fence into the alcove?
I want to say the edge of the fence.
Okay. Okay, so go on.
So I immediately see him, and he's holding on to his... It's not... He had a jacket, mm-hmm. dark jacket over him. He wasn't holding on to his jacket, the pocket, the pants, or anything like that. He actually had his hand tucked in underneath the jacket. And when I first initially saw him, he had a blank stare, like deer in the headlight type of thing stare. He wasn't looking at me. He was looking straight at that wall, that fence wall. Immediately said, let me see your hands. Santa, please don't move. He didn't give me a stare. I tell him again, show me your hands, show me your hands. At this time, it clicks, I guess, it clicked on him that I was there. Looks up at me and he goes, fuck you, I'm going to kill you. Now, I've had many people in my career tell me the same thing, fuck you, I'm going to kill you. And, you know, we're pretty much feet apart where I've used tasers to disable these guys or used hands-on to take them into custody or anything like that. So I'm like, okay, show me your hands, show me your hands. At the same time, I see my partner now running on the west side of Lacey on the sidewalk thinking, I don't know what he's thinking, obviously, but I'm thinking he thinks the guy made it way across. I scream out louder so my partner could hear me where mm-hmm. I was at. I go, hey, let me see your hands. And this guy tugged on his waistband. He's like, no, fuck you. I'm going to fucking kill you. And I go, dude, let me see your hands. And he continues to tug on the waistband. And as he starts saying, fuck you, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to do it now. He starts climbing up. There was debris or I don't know what the other side had. But he started climbing, not like running towards the wall, but actually escalating up. Somehow, I don't know what he was standing on. The whole time he's grabbing onto his waistband as he's saying, fuck you, I'm gonna kill you, I'm gonna do it now. And he kept on tugging. Now, he's not pulling his pants, he's not grabbing on his jacket, he's actually like tugging on something. Like, in my mind, I either believed he might have had a gun, a knife, or obviously using it as intimidation. At the same time as all this is going, I'm thinking to myself, he has two options. One, actually three. One, continue running west. My partner Daniel Collard would have caught him there. Two, he would have easily jumped over, taken off on foot. It's an empty park lot. I mean, we could have called units, you know, get him on that. But he chose option three. He committed to wanting to take me down. There's no doubt in my mind that the threats that he was screaming at that time, fuck you, I'm going to kill you. There's no doubt in my mind that he didn't mean what he was actually saying. Mm-hmm. Based on that, he could have easily jumped over or he could have easily began to run back. So I'm holding, and I'm waiting till the last second. Maybe he's going to change his mind. Maybe he's going to start running the other way. Maybe he's going to jump over. And he's still tugging on the waistband as he's climbing up. And the last thing I hear is, before that, as he's climbing up, there's a light on, you can't really see it, but somewhere around here.
Yeah, I don't know if we have any cards that area. Look, there's apparently a light out here on the far west end of this parking lot.
You don't see it here.
One of these?
No.
I don't know. I didn't remember seeing the photo. I know what you're.
Yeah, but
like a street light type light.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Okay. I think it's like there's. I believe you have one, but it shows the opposite. This back one.
Okay.
But it's not on this side. It's back here somewhere.
Like a parking lot.
Yeah.
Straight up light mm-hmm. type thing. Kind of like a street light, but in a parking lot.
Yes.
Okay.
So when he's climbing up, his body actually becomes a silhouette to me. He's blackened out by the light, the backdrop of the light.
Mm-hmm.
So the last image I have of him is saying, fuck you, I'm gonna kill you, pulling on his waistband. That image is immediately broken by his left hand. Now he's up here by his left hand reaching out for my gun. My gun is, I wanna say, a foot and a half from his hand. Once I see that, I know he's committed. He's ready to take me down. It's either I commit to it or I let him I let him take my back, and now, you know, I can be dead. Mm-hmm. Seconds. So once that image is broken, I tell him again, don't move, don't move. And he's continuing. I shoot him once. I see the light, the muzzle. It hits him straight in the chest. He doesn't jump over. He doesn't step back. He continues.
Continues coming towards you?
To come at me. At that time, I immediately do two more rounds. But it was within seconds. It was, mm-hmm. It was bam, bam. And it hits him. He screams out, you got me, and jumps over now. I got on the radio, 313-45-998-1033. And when I jumped over the wall, my partner Alcala was already on the opposite side. Now, it's based on my training and experience, the way this male, his demeanor, his actions. When I was in training, I had this one guy holding onto his waistband as he ran, and he dumped two guns. I've had suicidal guys with a knife, even with a taser, still stick themselves in the chest. So, this guy was within feet of me. If he had a gun, he could have easily shot me right there and then. If he had a knife, he could have easily stabbed me up here. If you ask me if I feared for my life, yeah, I believed his threats were there, and I believe he had the capacity and the he was fully committed to wanting to kill somebody that night.
Okay. Now, when you say he came up from in here, did he come over this plastic? Or, I'm sorry, not plastic. This wooden fence here.
No, his foot ended up here. It was like a leap. You know how when you try to leap off a wall, you you step on, you don't step forward. You step on one side and then jump across diagonally. That's what he did. He stepped right here with his right foot, and he was leaping over this way.
Okay, so
he did come across, but he didn't step here. He stepped here.
Okay.
And started going this way.
But he did come over the fence.
Yes.
Okay, and then but he came over via the block wall.
Yes.
And then advanced towards you, kind of at an angle. You're saying.
Diagonal angle.
Okay.
Not that south or north, but like in a northeastern direction, because I was standing here.
Okay.
So he came at me this way.
Okay. And you said he reached for your gun.
Yes.
How close did he get actually to it?
I want to say I was here. Don't move, don't move. Maybe, what is that, a foot and a half?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's based on this, what you see from silhouette and his body motions.
Yeah, where are many photos here? Where's the ones of the washing machine? Oh, here we go. Now, when you're standing on the washing machine, was this chair up there too?
I don't recall.
Okay. Were you standing about where on the washing machines would you say you were standing?
I want to say here, maybe.
Like to the... to the eastern end of the, because there's two units here.
Yes.
I don't know which one was a washer or dryer, if they both were one or the other.
Yeah, I want to say the easternmost unit.
The easternmost, yeah. Okay. Now from there, you really don't have many options for backing away from this guy, right? You're kind
of stuck where you're at. I'm stuck. If I take a step back, I might have ended up over here. If the table's not sturdy enough and I end up on this crack, I go this way.
Mm-hmm.
And worst case scenario, he takes my back, grabs my gun, and shoots me.
Mm-hmm.
If he kills me, for sure, I know my partner's going to start running this way. And now he has cover, he has, you know, concealment, and he has a gun. And my partner would have been victim number two, if you ask me.
Okay.
One thing I've been taught is the worst thing you want to do is give the man your back or fight from the ground.
Right.
I obviously wasn't, that wasn't my plan. I wasn't going to fight on the ground.
Okay. And it's pretty, I mean, you look at this thing, you're probably a good 4 feet off the ground, right? So yes. To take any step in any direction, you're going to step backwards and your next step down is 4 feet, roughly.
Yes, sir.
Right. With a guy advancing on you, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And your gun is out, so you really don't have any way of breaking your fall anyways, right?
No.
Okay.
No way.
So many photos here. This in photo number four, this alcove next to the garage, was there any light in there? Was that lit up at all?
No, just like it's shown in the shadow, the same light hits and causes that thing. There's no light in here. It's basically this thing's lit up, and the only image I have of them is me lighting them up with my flashlight. And that's how I was able to see that there was a couple things here that he climbed up. But as far as the lighting there, I don't recall it other than my light.
Okay. When you were up on top of the washing machine and you were looking down in there, did you say he wasn't even looking at you, like he was just hiding, maybe hoping nobody was going to know he was
in
there?
I wouldn't say, well, yeah, he was hiding, but it wasn't like he made like he actually tried to hide. I mean, he was there. He wasn't hiding underneath anything, on the bottom of anything. He was just there, squatted down, staring at, with the blank stare, staring at the wall.
Did it appear that your light surprised him when he saw the light in there?
No, I don't think he was surprised. I know it is my strong feeling that he knew that I was coming behind him.
Okay.
And it was just waiting on his reaction.
Okay.
Ask anything else? Yes, some questions. When you were telling him not to move, and the alcove is coming towards you, he's advancing towards you, he's obviously has his hands behind, you're in his waistband, tugging on something, and you believe it to possibly be a gun, obviously. Are you telling him, police don't move, police officer or police, or you identify yourself as a police officer? I know he saw your uniform, but do you remember saying, police don't move, or?
Yeah, the whole time I'm telling him, as he's climbing up, I say, please don't move, please don't move, and he's just,
okay,
he's climbing up at a, like, breaking ground fast.
Yeah.
But I mentioned it when I first caught him, not caught him, but when I first saw him squatting, I said, please don't move, let me see your hands.
Okay.
Please, let me see your hands, nothing. And the whole time as he's climbing up, and when he says, fuck you, I'm gonna kill you, don't move. And
okay, and then based on your training and experience, you're aware that when somebody's trying to take your gun away, what does it usually mean? If a bad guy or a suspect out there in the field, we're little police officers, we have basically the same training and experience, or different experience, but same training. When a guy's gonna go for your gun, what is usually the end result based on what you know as a police officer?
As a police officer, it's either him or me. If he's going for my gun, he's committed to killing me.
To killing you, exactly.
And that was my number one fear. He's gonna kill me.
Okay. And
yeah, I just wanted to ask this. When he ended up on this side of the wall, the hospital parking lot side of the wall, did he jump or fall? Did it look like he was trying to get away, further get away, like still trying to run from you, or did he like fall over?
I think he, it's not clear in the back of my head, but I think he jumped over to try to get a quick escape. Like I said, I didn't see him land, so I don't know if he landed on his feet and tried to take off. Mm-hmm. By the time I jumped over, my partner was already there.
Okay. And when, oh, I'm sorry, do you want to ask some questions?
Not knowing where he was hit, because we haven't seen those reports, is it possible that, because the way he stepped, that you make it, that bullets making contact pushed him over this side? Do you think, or do you know, can you describe the movement he made to go over the fence at all?
No, I'm not so clear on that, on his movement. It's just, when he's running at me, I see the first one impact his chest. And I'm thinking, you know, you just got shot in the chest and I'm still holding my gun. Why are you still coming at me?
Mm-hmm.
And he's still coming at me. So when I shot the other two, it was just, my mind just went like, okay, you just shot again. Are you okay? And then put out the radio code and jumped over. So I, as far as whether he fell, I don't think, by the time I jumped over, he was further over here, I believe. So if he would have fallen closer to the wall, which is my experience, when you jump over some things, you just land closer and land farther apart if you're jumping. So,
then based on your training experience, you know that when a person gets shot, that are you aware that they can still kill you or still assault you, that sometimes they may be shot maybe with a non-lethal wound or even a lethal one, but it takes time for them to succumb to their injuries.
Yes.
Have you been trained that even though you shoot somebody, they can still advance and still harm you or kill you?
Yeah, and that's what I've been trained on. You shoot and you, if the person's coming at you, move off to the side. So I don't, there's a little bit of seconds I don't recall after I shot, but I may have moved to the table after it was safe. I don't know, but that's what they teach you, is they're going to keep on coming at you no matter what.
How sturdy is this table, do you remember?
I don't recall. It got me up there, so I'm
going to... Okay. But is it correct to assume that your footing on top of this washer isn't the most secure?
No, it's not secure at all. It's, what, 2x2, and my shoulder width apart is maybe a foot in length. So any awkward movement would have caused me to fall.
Right. And even the option of stepping back, if you want to consider it an option, onto this table, would that have been a secure step either?
No, I believe the table is plastic. I want to say
it kind of looks plastic. It kind of looks like it. Like a patio table or something. So yeah, those weight. Often are. Yeah. And then the surface out there, what was the surface like, the ground surface?
It was actually muddy. I remember having mud on my feet. As you can see, there's like mud prints.
Right.
So it was slippery. Mud is slippery.
Okay. So again, even the ground surface wasn't steady.
It wasn't steady at all. Say I would have made it down, I would have slipped. There's no doubt.
Okay. And the commands, he never asked you any questions about, do you want me to stay in here? Let me just get up to where you're at. In other words, he wasn't making any statements indicating to you what he was planning on doing other than assaulting you, right?
No other statements.
Nothing that made it sound like, you know, you said, you know, show me your hands. He wasn't showing you his hands, correct?
Yeah.
And you said, don't move. But he still kept advancing on you, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Did at any point, did he put his hands up, ever put his hands up above his head, up to his shoulder? At any point, did he show you his right hand?
No, he never showed me his right hand. And the only image I have of his left hand is him breaking the silhouette and trying to go for my gun. Never up in the motion, never okay in my head or in the back or anything like that. It was just that quick motion to grab my gun.
If I could.
Yes.
Based on the lighting, and we know that when he comes up over the fence, he becomes a silhouette, so he's blocking the light. Do you believe that that lighting would clearly light up your uniform and let him know that you're a police officer?
Yeah.
So in other words, that light's actually coming at the front of your uniform.
Yes.
And so when he stands up, the silhouette is broken because, or the silhouette's caused because he breaks the lighting.
Yes.
All right. Come on.
About how far was he from you, do you think, when you fired the shots at him?
Close.
Like within arm's reach?
Definitely without arm's reach. Exact footing, I don't know how.
No, I was just trying to get a rough idea.
Yeah, he was within arm's reach. I mean, if his hand came maybe a foot and a half from my gun, and then... his body was here, and I was at the...
Now, in photo number 4, you see this white edge here about down on the bottom of the picture, about, I guess that's about center picture. Is that part of this washing machine combo or washing machine right there?
Yes.
Was he up on the wall, or was he standing there when you shot him, or was it both?
It was a quick motion as far as putting his foot and leaning over. So he had already broken this ledge here when he was kind of like wanting to tackle me. One of those, you squat down, you take over.
Kind of like rushing you.
Yes.
Okay. When you made mention about him stepping off in an angle off this wall, If he's facing you, I'm assuming that would have been his right foot on there?
Yes.
Do you remember, was his left foot then on the same structure that you were on?
I don't recall that.
Okay.
It was just a silhouette, and
okay.
I was focusing my last images on his hand on his waistband and his hand trying to go for
a
weapon.
Anything else? Were you injured at all?
No.
Okay. I think that's about all I have, too. Is there anything you wanted to add that you think we might have forgot that's important?
I think the most important part is he had the option of fight or flight. He obviously ducked down there for a reason. He continued to have that option up until he rushed at me. He, like I said before, he could have easily gone west and towards the street, or jumped over, and it could have been a different ball play. But he committed, and he chose fight. And there's no doubt in my mind, like I said, that this guy was on a mission, and his mission was to try to kill me. It's just that, based on how I shot him, it shows he was trying to come at me. I didn't shoot him on the side or on the back or anything like that when he was trying to jump over. He was coming at me, and that I think that shows that he had his demeanor and he committed to it.
Okay. When he did go over on the other side of the wall into the parking lot, were you still up on the washing machine?
Yeah, for about right when I put out the call, and then I jumped over, and that's that. I don't want to say I had a communication with this guy.
Right.
He just kept on saying, you shot me, and I said, relax, just calm down, we got paramedics on the way. And I was taken off the scene.
Okay. Anything else? No. Okay, and that'll be the conclusion of this interview. The time is 1100 hours.